Hello and welcome to the 11th week of the Beaver Dam. I am Tyler Revilla, joined along with Gino Spadaro. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. Just trying to beat the heat that's in here in our production studio.
Yeah.
So, let's start off with football. You guys had senior day over the weekend hosting the Earlham College Quakers, and you laid the smack down on them, beating them 65-21. The point total for you guys also set a new record for points scored in a single game. Let me and our audience know how that all felt for you, wrapping up that game and from start to finish.
Senior day, we made it clear throughout the week that we were going to play for the seniors. I'm a senior. To go out there and, play the way we did, and, win the way that we did, felt really good, especially with, how the season's really gone for us, this year. It's been, disappointing for the most part. To be able to go out there and, play the way we did, in all phases of the game, it was a nice confidence booster. And, we've improved, for the most part, week in and week out. Like I've always said, we're really young. Like I said, to see a lot of those young guys out there, perform the way they did, especially a guy like D. Greeley, Brandon Koch, guys like that, it was really nice to see.
Yeah, like you said, you guys have improved. Over the last 3 weeks, you've really been close in games. October 14th at Hanover, you guys lost by 3, 31-28. And then at Manchester the following week, you guys lost 28-21. And then last week at home against Rose, you guys really fought hard against a very tough team who was ranked second in the conference and lost 31-28. So having a game like Earlham on Saturday and how you guys started off really should help, like you said, boost your guys' confidence heading in to this coming week at Defiance. Well, starting off for you guys on Saturday, intentional grounding call in the end zone led to a safety, and then you guys never looked back. You guys were up 23-0 before the Quakers first scored, and then at the half you had a commanding 30-point lead, 44-14. What was going through your guys' mind heading into half having such a big lead?
Well, you brought up the intentional grounding call, first play of the game. Any time that you can start a game off like that, build some momentum right off the bat, that's always a positive. Our offense played really, really well. Like I said, Brandon Koch played, a heck of a ball game. Michael Roberson has a broken wrist, and he's still out there, racking up 136 yards. You would think that he wouldn't be able to catch the ball as well with a cast on, but he still, manages to catch everything that comes his way. When you got guys playing like that, and, like I said, starting the game off the way we did, going into halftime, we were feeling pretty well. We were feeling pretty good, up 44-14.
Like you mentioned, Brandon Koch had a tremendous game. He went 21 of 25 for 287 yards and 4 touchdowns with 1 pick. That pick was kind of on him because he didn't really let Hunter Morrison cut back into his route. Also, senior Caden Dickey started the game at tailback, and he ran 8 times for 38 yards with 1 touchdown. Freshman backup quarterback Plummy Gardner rushed for 7 times for 23 yards and a score as well. And the Bulldog, as Reed caught him during the game, Darian Greeley rushed for 175 yards on only 12 carries with 2 scores. Darian Greeley legit is a Bulldog.
Yeah, D. Greeley, him being a freshman, he wasn't the starting back in the beginning of the year. For him to emerge the way that he's emerged, he's been awesome to watch. He runs so hard, and me being a defensive player, I wouldn't really like to, go against D. Greeley. The man runs hard, and he's tough to take down. And, anytime you play against a running back like that, it's always a tough task. And so I can't imagine what, opposing defenses, are dealing with when it comes to him. You know, but like I said, him being a freshman, you know, he's got a great career ahead of him here at Bluffton.
Starting midway through the year, basically, for Greeley, he really showed promise during the Franklin game in garbage time where he just let the defense have it. The cool thing that Reed and I saw, it was midway through the third quarter, and you guys were honoring Michael Roberson, who has had a tremendous 4 years here. And then it was sort of like a passing of the torch type thing. As soon as Micah came off for his last play as a Beaver at home, Darian Greeley rushed for 86 yards and a score. So that has to have been a surreal moment for both Micah and Darian Greeley.
Well, yeah. You know, that standing ovation from Micah that he got, you know, he earned that, no doubt about it. You know, like you said, the 4 years here that he has had, it's, you know, it's been unreal. He's the best wide receiver I've ever seen play the game. He's got the best hands I've ever seen. You know, he's got the ability to put a team on his back and lead them to a win. Like I said, even with a broken wrist, he's still able to catch 10 passes for 136 yards and a score. It's unreal watching him play. You know, I've had the privilege to go against him at practice and stuff like that. You know, he's really, really good going against a guy like that. And, yeah, like you said, as soon as Micah comes off the field and D, you know, goes for, you know, 80-something yards for a score, you know, it was a pretty cool moment to see that. And, you know, yeah, maybe it is a passing of the torch, like you said. You know, one offensive star to, you know, passing down to another. We'll see. I hope that's the case. Because, like I said, D. Greeley looks like he's definitely got a bright future here.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because the last couple of weeks he's been averaging over 120 rushing yards, and then he totals 175 on Saturday. Micah also has a total of 74 receptions on the season to go along with his 864 yards receiving. Also included in the scoring outburst was Lucas Espedia with 3 receptions for 47 yards and a score. Adam Duncan had 3 catches as well for 31 yards and a touchdown. And Keon Camden also had 3 receptions for 26 yards as he also found Pater. The Bluffton offense was very explosive, as we've been talking about. They totaled 578 yards, including 263 on the ground. Now, like you mentioned, you are a defensive player, 4-year starter at linebacker, and also a team captain. Tell me a little bit how the defense played on Saturday.
Well, you know, I thought our defense played pretty well. You know, going into the game, we were well aware of Earlham's quarterback, you know, his ability to, you know, be mobile and run around and make plays with his feet. And, you know, he did that a little bit. You know, he does that every game. You know, he's a great player. He's an all-conference player. And, you know, going into the game, it was just, you know, probably the major key for us in that game was just to try to limit him and, you know, try to contain him a little bit and just prevent him from making too many big plays for them. And, you know, all in all, I think we, you know, we did a solid job of that. And, you know, when you got guys like Dylan Schaefer in the middle, you know, he's a great middle linebacker. You got guys like, you know, Ali Moore, who's able to get into the backfield, you know, at any given moment with his speed and strength. And then you got, you know, Isaac Zikafus, who, you know, I don't really even need to explain. You know, he's, you know, I've always said he's the best defensive lineman in the country, in my opinion. He's unstoppable. He's big. He's athletic. He's fast. Strong. You know, I think his athleticism showed off when he had a one-handed pick six.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, on a screenplay, it was, you know, it was really, really impressive. And you know, so all in all, I think our defense played pretty well. We held them to, what was it, 21 points.
Yep.
And so, you know, anytime you can do that. And so, you know, when the offense is playing that well, you know, defensively, it just makes your job that much easier.
Right.
You know, when your offense is able to, you know, rack up 578 yards and put up 65 points, you know, defensively, you know, you don't really have to worry that often about the opposing team putting up that many points as well. And so when your offense is, you know, producing like that, you can kind of, I don't want to say relax on defense,
right?
But you can, it's like a confidence thing. And so you're not as uptight as you are at the beginning of the game. You're calm, and you know, you're confident that, you know, that even if you do screw up one play, that your offense is going to come back and answer right back. And so, you know, you can play with more confidence. And I think that, you know, when our offense is playing that well defensively, we play really well, like we did on Saturday.
Now, what was the one thing that you thought was key to adjust wise? Because I saw their quarterback, senior quarterback, Wes Hundley, he was very athletic. He was a scrambler. And there was a couple plays where he, middle of the field was just wide open, and he would just run up the middle. Well, so what was some of the key adjustments to trying to contain him in the pocket?
Well, I think, and, you know, we worked on this, you know, in practice during the game, during the week. And, you know, it's easier said than done.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes people screw up in games. The biggest thing was just, you know, defensive ends and, you know, linebackers blitzing off the edge. Just to make sure that, you know, you keep contained. And, you know, we worked on it all week of not dipping inside of the tackle and breaking contain and allowing the quarterback to scramble out of the pocket. And, you know, because when we did that, that's when, like you said, that's when their quarterback got out of the pocket and made a lot of plays with his feet. Basically the biggest adjustment that, you know, we made and that we worked on all week was just, you know, keeping contained and making sure that that quarterback doesn't get out of the pocket and try to make him beat us inside of the pocket and make him pass instead of run.
So on the defensive side of the football, the Beavers were led by Dylan Schaefer, who tallied 6 tackles on the afternoon. Ollie Moore racked up 2 sacks along with a pass breakup. Isaac Zikafus, along with his pick 6, collected 2 tackles for loss. The Bluffton defense was all over the Quaker backfield as they made 9 tackles for loss and pressured the quarterback 8 times. The one touchdown that put the Beavers to a new record for points scored in a single game was Isaac Sikafusa's one-handed interception. The Beavers will close out their 2017 season when they travel to rival Defiance next Saturday, November 11th, to battle for the Hammer, with kickoff set at 1:30 p.m. Reed Mouse and myself will be traveling to the game as well to do our first ever away broadcast. Make sure you turn into 96.1 The Wit around 1:15-ish for pregame analysis. We're going to take a short break here on the Beaver Dam. First up, we got Machine Gun Kelly with Let You Go. You're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Broadcasting from Bluffton University, we are 96.1 The Wit.
Since you left, I've been holding on to a memory. Since you walked out that door. Yeah. And you said I changed and you're so damn sick of me. You're not mine anymore. 2, 3, 4. Whoa, whoa. She said you need to let me go. Whoa, whoa. She said I'd die for you. You're like my drug, but I can't get high off you. You're not mine. Hey, I still remember what you wore on the first night. Still remember how that black dress had your curves right. Still remember smoking just to calm my nerves. Till you had to leave and grabbed your purse, I grabbed first. It's no words, yeah, it's just her. Body against mine, makeup on my shirt. Lipstick on my neck, whiskey on my breath. Taking pictures in the moment so we don't forget. Yeah, whoa, whoa. She said you need to let me. But I can't get high off you. You're not mine anymore. And I can't be myself without you. I am not well. Okay, I said that before, but I need you now. Yeah. Whoa, whoa.
girl, but I can't get high off you. You're not mine anymore. Since you left, I've been holding on to a memory. Since you walked out that door, and you said I changed it. You're so damn sick of me. You're not mine anymore. Whoa, whoa. She said you need to let me go. Whoa, whoa. She said I'd die for you. You're like my drug, but I can't get high off you. You're not mine. Too fast to prepare for this. Tripping in the world could be dangerous. Everybody circling as vultures. Negative, nepotist. Everybody waiting for the fall of man. Everybody praying for the end of times. Everybody hoping they could be the one. I was born to run, I was born for this.
Whip, whip, run me like a racehorse. Pull me like a ripcord. Break me down and build me up. I wanna be the slip, slip. Word upon your lip. Feeling miserable, always hanging on to the visual. I wanna be invisible. Looking at my ears like I'm out of dumb. Everybody needs to be a part of them. Never be enough from the prodigal son. I was born to run, I was born for this.
Whip, whip, run me like a racehorse. Pull me like a ripcord. Break me down and build me up. I wanna be the slip, slip. Word upon your lip, lip. Rather than you rip, rip. Break me down and build me up. Whatever it takes.
Parenthetical, hypothetical, working onto something that I'm proud of. Out of the box, an epoxy to the world and the vision we've lost. I'm an apostrophe. I'm just a symbol to remind you that there's more to see. I'm just a product of the system of catastrophe. And yet a masterpiece, and yet I'm half deceased. And when I am deceased, at least I go down to the grave and die. Leave the body of my soul to be a part of me. I'll do what it takes.
Whatever it takes.
And we are back. That was Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons. There is no new news in women's or men's soccer, but Reed does have an interview with Coach Kuzak, and this is what they discussed.
How do you think the team did this season?
You know, I think it was a good year overall. You know, despite what our record finished at, when you look at the win-loss column, it wasn't where we wanted it. You know, but the team really made progress each week of the year. And that was something that we talked about is, knowing that we're such a young team, each week we need to take steps forward and avoid taking those many steps back. Mm-hmm. And I thought for pretty much the entire year, we made progress each week. That's not to say that there were a few moments where we took some steps back, because we did. But ultimately, You know, we got stronger throughout our non-conference play. Once we entered conference play, you know, I really felt like we were maybe 2 or 3 minutes away from maybe 2 or 3 more wins. Obviously important to get that first conference win since 2014. But all in all, you know, I think it's been a season with progress. You know, individual players got better throughout the year. We got better as a group. And it kind of signifies, you know, I think where we're going as a program.
Yeah, you mentioned progress and stuff like that. So what are some things that you're going to be working on heading into the off season?
You know, first and foremost, just continuing to build that culture that we're looking to have here, mm-hmm. Of guys just committed to the process, guys committed to doing stuff year-round. You know, that's not to say that from here through Christmas break we're going to be together every day, because we won't. But, you know, we have weightlifting and speed and agility and futsal and individual technical workouts that we'll really design specifically for each guy. You know, we want to empower our players to take ownership in the process. You know, and D3 lifestyle, the off season is a little bit scaled back. You know, so we really want to see who's going to continue to build this culture, who's going to be empowered enough to come in here and work with the coaching staff on ways that they can get better individually and as a group. You know, between now and March when we get outside, there's a lot of time for our athletes to really to get better, not just as players, but as leaders, and to really help grow this program and this culture.
Yeah, you guys are a fairly young team, fairly younger guys. So what are you excited about going into the future?
Yeah, just, you know, it's we're in the midst of having end of the year meetings with all of our players, and you know, it's as a player, players want to play, and sometimes as a coach, one of your least favorite decisions that you have to make is knowing that you're making the decision about who plays, and that happiness is correlated to that. You know, so when we have these end of the year meetings, you know, we're really getting down and really discussing the progress that players made, the opportunities that players had. And when you look around the conference, the country, programs that typically don't play freshmen a lot of minutes. You know, and I look at what we were able to do, and every one of our players played in at least one match this year. You know, we had a lot of freshmen get significant minutes. And those players who got significant minutes will be counted on. But also, those guys who maybe felt like they should have played a little bit more, this spring is going to be so important to them, because now it's a clean slate. Now they have the opportunity to go and to work and to prove to themselves, their teammates, and the coaching staff that, hey, maybe I didn't play in every game, maybe I didn't start every game, but I've improved, and I'm going to continue to improve because I want to go play in the spring. I want to start next fall. You know, and that's really what we're trying to build, is that don't get so bogged down on what didn't happen in the fall. Mm-hmm. Let's understand that, hey, we still got some experience. We're still a young group. We're still just 12, 14 weeks of being around one another. How much better is that going to be in 1 year, in 2 years, mm-hmm. in 3 years? So really just trying to preach long-term, big picture, but also really trying to help each player grow individually during this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are, like, very, very young, very excited for the future, but you also had some seniors graduate, mm-hmm. and the end of the season means that's the end of their career. Mm-hmm. So what kind of a legacy do you think the seniors left behind?
Yeah, you know, with Adam and Blake, they're two guys that, when I got here, bought in, invested right away. You know, never once had to ask them to do more. Never once had to get on them about not showing up to things. You know, they, from day one, bought into what it is that I wanted to do. You know, so I think part of that legacy is they're the two guys who helped transition the program from one to the other, from old to new. And, you know, they were certainly leaders in the fact that they led by example. You know, they were typically your hardest working players at practice, mm-hmm. You know, good students, good role models. And, you know, for me, it's those are... You know, some of it has to do with how you do on the field, and Adam and Blake were starters for us this year. But a lot of that legacy, you know, is how are they around the program? They got along with everybody great. You know, they really opened up their arms to 21 new players, which is, as a senior, I think can be a difficult and daunting thing sometimes. You know, and they kept working this year. They never once gave up. You know, they'd been through three seasons of – tough seasons, you know, and for them to continue to go through it at 100% commitment, 100% effort, I think is a testament to them and who they are as people.
And we'll be right back. Up next, we got The Last of the Real Ones by Fall Out Boy.
Violent behavior, all sweat and points like a martyr.
96.1, The Wit.
And that was Bang Bang by Green Day. So Cross Country had the weekend off to prepare for the regional meet at Ohio Wesleyan University. A couple weeks ago, they had the conference meet, and Alexis Cash, sophomore, she actually won the race. And that was the first time Bluffton actually had a women's cross-country runner take home that victory. So Alexis Cash and the women, along with the men's team, are looking to move on to the Division III NCAA National Championship. The top 35 runners out of each race, out of approximately 300, will take all region honors. The men will start at 11, followed by the women at 12:15. And we're going to take a short break. Here is Take It All Back by Judah and the Lion.
Real great, feel I'm well on my way to my dreams coming true, and I'm getting to do it with you. It feels so nice when the people sing along, they're singing along with the banjo. With nice cars and fancy clothes and a wife with a big old diamond ring. Cause the people, they dancing along to the mando. It's some sort of hip hop beat.
On to volleyball. The Bluffton University volleyball team playing their final two games last week. On Wednesday, November 1st, the Beavers played host to their rivals, Defiance College, in a tough three-set sweep of the Yellow Jackets, 25-23, 25-14, and 25-23. It marked the first HCAC tournament match Bluffton has hosted since the Beavers downed Defiance 3-0 on Tuesday, November 1st, 2011, ironically enough, in Founders Hall. Bluffton improved to 19-10, while Defiance wrapped up its season at 10-13. With the victory, Bluffton moves into the Heartland Conference semifinal round, where the Beavers will face off with longtime tournament nemesis and the number one seed, Hanover College.
On Saturday, November 4th, the Beavers travel to Collier Arena in Hanover, Indiana to face off with the Hanover College Panthers. The Beavers fought to the end, but the number one seed and tournament host beat Bluffton 3-1, 25-19, 22-25, 25-23, and 25-20. Bluffton's season came to an end with a 19-11 mark. It marks the first time Bluffton has not earned the HCAC automatic berth since 2012, a string that saw the Beavers knock Hanover out of the conference tournament four straight years. The Panthers used 8 straight points to turn a 17-14 deficit into a 22-17 lead in the opener en route to a 25-19 victory. Bluffton led by as many 7 points and set 2, but needed 5 straight Abby Roback serves to go back ahead 21-19 late. Freshman Sarah Heidinger closed it out with a kill for a 25-22 win and match equalizer. Set 3 was a roller coaster with both teams trading blows. The visitors led 23-22, but Hanover scored 3 straight for a 25-23 victory. Bluffton was again up 18-16 in the 4th set before Hanover closed out the set with a 9-2 run for the match victory. Bethany Martini led everybody with 23 kills and she added 12 digs. Freshman Remy Bauer was just one spike shy of her career with 17 kills against just 4 errors. Senior Sydney Muller added to her historic legacy with a team-high 25 digs to go along with 18 assists. Junior ringleader Aaron Weisgarber dished out 43 assists and picked up 17 digs. Courtney Zimfer shattered her career best with 23 digs, while Roback finished with 16 pickups. We here at the Beaver Dam want to give congratulations to the volleyball team and to the seniors who won 3 straight HCAC tournament titles while amassing a superlative 30-6 mark in the conference. I really like to see how this Bluffton volleyball team will bounce back next year after losing 4 key seniors, Lauren Miller, Mary Jo Bash, Cindy Moeller, and Becca Turney. But they've shown that they have development in players like Bethany Martini and Aaron Weisgarber who can step up and fill in those roles.
Well, yeah, you know that's what college athletics is all about. You know, it's all about, you know, who steps up, you know, when the seniors leave. You know, it's all about creating a program. You know, that's what Coach Yarnell's done a good job of, you know, in the past years. You know, that has to do with recruiting as well. Always bringing in good talent, you know, to grow, you know, be able to step into the shoes or fill the shoes that the seniors leave. You know, I look forward to seeing that because when you look back on it, you know, girls like Cindy Muller had to fill the shoes of somebody at some point. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's all a big cycle. I have no doubt that, you know, Coach Yarnell knows what he's doing. And he's going to keep bringing in good talent. And, you know, we're going to keep seeing, you know, young girls in this program step up and fill shoes. And, you know, they're going to continue the winning tradition here at Bluffton.
Especially freshmen like Remy Bauer and Sarah Heidinger. They've really shown to be key factors in that varsity role. And it'll just really be interesting to see how they all improve in the coming years. Reed also got to sit down with Coach Charnell, and this is what they had to discuss.
How did the game go this past Saturday in Hanover?
We played really well. We had leads in all 4 sets, and I think if I look back, we led 11-6 in the first set, forced them into a timeout. Next thing you know, it's 14-13 us, then 17-17, and we end up losing 25-19. Second set, same thing. We get out to 11-6 lead, make them call a timeout. Then 16-15, I call a timeout. We're up 1. They go back up, score 4 points, go up 16-19, and then we're able to go on a run and win 25-22. And third set was really, really close, 23-all, and I think we got blocked and made a hitting error at the end to lose 25-23. And then the last set, we're down 4-8. Next thing you know, we're up 15-12 and then 15-all. And so we played really, really well. We pushed them. We competed. They're really talented. And you know, we couldn't get the one ball to drop here or there. And kudos to their defense. You know, they did a really nice job. And they're a big blocking team. And but I'm really proud of the way we pushed. That was probably the championship level match in the semifinals between us and you know, the crazy thing is we were so close again. If we can get that third set, maybe we break their spirit and they think, mm-hmm. Oh, here we go again, the Beavers. So really proud of the way the team played and fought and resiliency, and you know, we were a little outmanned against them, honestly, and in terms of size and experience, and we held our own, and we made them bring their best to beat us.
So that was, unfortunately, the end of the season, just in a very broad sense of it. How do you think the season went?
Oh, heck, we're 19-11 overall. One match that we kind of gave away was probably the Capital match. If we win that, it's a 20-win season, and a lot of coaches would take that every time. And Summer Center was great for us. Looking here, we went 13-2 at home this year. Played more home matches probably this year than we've ever played in any year past, and it was good for us. I'm excited. We did maybe a little bit better than I thought we could. All of our two conference losses, were the only team in that top four pod that had to play every last one of those on the road. Nice. So Transy got Hanover, Bluffton, and Rose at home. And then Hanover got us at home, and Rose, got us at home as well, and had to travel, and maybe even in Hanover. So we had the toughest road of the top four teams in terms of, you know, having to go on the road for all three of those. And we were able to squeak out a 5-set win at Rose, and the first match was really close at Hanover, and you know, we're one ball away from being in the fifth set with Transy. So a second place tie. And competing the way we did in the finals, I'm really proud and excited. And that was a great season. Mm-hmm. The thing that soured is we've gotten really spoiled of playing an extra week. And so, you know, from some perspectives, everybody said, your season's, a week shorter. And boy, this team brought it and, probably maybe pushed the envelope on overachieving a little bit. And some of that's the culture, and so I'm excited moving forward. We got some great, great, great play out of some of our younger players. Ramey Bauer played her best match of the season with a season on the line against, toughest team in the conference. And she had a couple errors late that dropped her hitting percentage, but other than that, she had 17 kills and hit almost 300 for the match. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. Martini, and she did what she's done all year, and she's got to rest up. And like I said, we had some great play. Courtney Zimfer probably played her best match of the season defensively and had 20 something digs. Moving forward, I'm really excited and hope that this throws some gas on the fire of wanting to get in the weight room and get faster and get back to work and see if we can get that championship belt back next year.
Yeah, you mentioned a bunch of young players played well for you guys, and you mentioned you're excited. What are you excited about these young players going forward and whatnot?
Well, and some of it, next year we'll have a big senior class, and so this year we had four seniors, and one primary starter in that group, and Turney became went from being more of a starter to a serving specialist and a sub for us. Moving forward, as you look at what other teams lose, Hanover loses five starters. Now, their cupboard's far from bare because they have kids on the bench that can play at a high level that are just behind people. But they lose five starters. Rose loses four starters. We're losing one, and we're going to have, four or five juniors that will be right in the mix. And so I'm excited that in some aspects we're not going to look a lot different. Mm-hmm. Unless by the process of recruiting we get some big dogs that can come in and do some things that this team currently can't do. So from that standpoint, is we'll look very similar to what we did this year, with the exception of maybe a piece or two. If we can achieve that through the recruiting process, and so that gets us a head start on everybody else that, they're going to try to be figuring things out, and we kind of know. Transy and Bluffton will be two of the top teams, and Rose is going to be right there in Hanover. So I think the top four are probably a step above everybody else. The other teams in the conference probably need to get some pieces through the recruiting process to add to what they already have. So I'm really, I'm really excited and proud of the way we competed, and look forward to, you know, we have a competitive schedule already put together for next year, and I've yet to unveil that to the team yet, so yeah, good things ahead for the future, and another really quality season, and a chance for us to kind of reflect back and be thankful for all we've been able to do here for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned your seniors kind of briefly there. What kind of legacy do you think the seniors are leaving behind?
Just a hard-nosed work ethic. Getting into the gym and having the passion and the play. And I shared, you know, this group is a little bit different from the standpoint of you have Moeller, who was a four-year starter from day one on campus, and Turney, who went from bounced around as utility player to different positions as a starter, to being maybe halfway through her senior year, relegated to more of a serving specialist, and a backup for some of our hitters as we had some younger players that started to progress. And then Mary Jo and Lauren, two players that saw very little varsity action for 4 years, but stuck it out because they're part of the family. Mm-hmm. And did the same work everybody else did, and important role players on our second team to be able to scrimmage competitively in practice. So, you know, it's a rare group of circumstances or roles that they all did, mm-hmm. but that's what makes great teams really good is they have people that are willing to do the roles, and you lose the individuality once you step in the gym and you're now part of the team. It's not about you anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of all of them, and they've done a lot, and you can't judge and measure everything on a stat sheet the way that they've impacted the program for sure.
All right, so the final question I got is you guys got a lot of young players, and it's the first time in 4 years where you guys haven't won the conference championship. So what are some things you need to improve on going into the offseason?
You know, we got to cut down our unforced errors. I'd like to see us serve a little more aggressively. Blocking, we've got to get, you know, we're not a huge team, and so that showed as our defensive numbers were up a little bit this year because, you know, we're not blocking as many balls. Passing could be improved a little bit. You know, we've got to be able to get Erin Weisgarber the ball a little tighter to the net so she can go up and really force teams to pay attention to her, which then will alleviate some pressure from our hitters. And there were times this year we struggled to pass consistently, and then it put a lot of pressure that everybody in the gym knows where the ball's going, and having to create offense versus just letting it happen. So if we can do some of those things, you know, we'll be right back in the mix for another 20-win season and a push to try to, you know, win a conference championship. And you know, like I said, they've shown me they can do it in the past, and now it's, you know, leadership is slowly turning over to that next group, and we'll see how they can lead the team in the off season, and, you know, who's here in the who's back in the fall, and who's our newcomers in the fall, and see if we can gel together and get this bad boy going again.
And we are going to take our last break. Here is Feel Good Inc. by the Gorillaz.
Breaking down on a camel's back. let it tie. Shoot, I'm stepping in harder this year. Yeah, be rapping in harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate. Ha, 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 ha. We gon' ghost town, this Motown with your sound. You in the blink, gon' bite the dust, can't fight with us. With your sound, you kill the ink. So don't stop, get it, until you chant it.
In a dimly lit hallway. We are 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. Gino and I are going to preview, like we did a little bit last week, with Phil Talavini, the athletic director, as he was the guest host on the Beaver Dam. We're going to preview basketball. So, for women's basketball, they were ranked third in the HCAC preseason poll. I feel like that's a good placing.
You know, I think that's an okay placing for them. You know, they did lose Rachel Bining last year, who was a an absolutely critical part to their team last year.
Oh, she was huge.
Yeah. You know, she's, I believe a record holder in, a couple categories.
I think rebounds.
Yeah. And so, obviously they need to find a girl that is able to, fill that role this year. This is a relatively young team. They only got three seniors, Casey Rao, Abby O'Donnell, and Macy Shear. And, I really look – I look forward to watching Macy and Casey dominate just like they have in the past years.
Yeah, they are tremendous shooters.
Yeah, and Abby O'Donnell's a returning starter, and so you got three senior starters, in that starting five. That I think that that's really going to help them out, with leadership and stuff like that. You got T.J. Mills, who's a returning starter.
Yeah, she was actually a freshman of the year, I believe, or some honors like that last year in the HCAC as a point guard.
Yeah, she's very, very athletic. She's very fast. She's a very good basketball player. I had the honor to, broadcast a lot of those games last year with you and Reed. Watching those girls, and they got four returning starters. When you look at that, as long as they can find someone to replace Rachel Bining, I would not be surprised if they finished higher than third.
Oh, no. Because it was my freshman year, 2 years ago, when they actually finished first conference, and they actually hosted the conference tournament, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and they were nationally ranked. I believe they got as high as like 10 or something like that in the country, or somewhere around there. I believe they were somewhere up there. I know that you still got key pieces from that team on this team. You still got Macy Shear, Abby O'Donnell, and Casey Rao, all of which who were key pieces of that championship team. And so, you got that championship DNA with this team still. Like I said, you got three senior starters, and hopefully they can, lead this group of young girls. Basically, show them how to win. There's no doubt about it that Casey Rao, Macy Shearer, and Abby O'Donnell know how to win. So, I look forward to seeing how they lead this group.
And also, they brought in eight freshmen to this already championship caliber DNA team, like you mentioned, is key. And teaching them just how to enjoy the game and respect the game and just playing with your heart on your sleeve and just giving it your all throughout the entire season can really prove to be key to not only improving on the preseason third rank in the HCAC, but also to bigger heights. Like Macy Shearer, she set, I forget what record she set last year as a junior. Like she came in her freshman year, sophomore year, and then last year just straight balling.
We can't leave out probably the most important piece, Coach Shuttler.
Yes.
Coach Shuttler is, he's a fantastic coach. He knows what he's doing. He knows the recipe to win. He's done it before. It always seems like, from my perspective, from my years of being here, it always seems like Coach Shuttler, has a way of getting his girls to play for him. It seems like they all love to play for him. And so when you got a group, when you got a team that loves to play for a coach, you see a lot more effort out on the court. You see a lot more teamwork. When you got a team that likes to play for a coach, loves to play for a coach, that means they'll be coachable and they'll fix their mistakes. And so, I definitely think Coach Shuttler is a critical piece to this team. I think that he'll lead this women's basketball team, to shock the HCAC.
I would not be surprised. Also, men's basketball, they are not highly ranked as the women's team, but they are ranked 9 out of 10 teams. They are ranked 9th out of 10 in the HCAC preseason poll. So what are your thoughts on that ranking and for the team? And how is this team going to replace Austin Rohde, who graduated last year and who was basically their main go-to guy last season?
Yeah, I think being ranked 9th out of 10, I think that, it strictly has to do with Austin Rohde not being on his team anymore. Austin Rohde was a guy that can put up 30 at any, he can put up 30 points in any given night in the blink of an eye. He was a pure scorer, and he gave everybody a hard time. He gave everybody who was trying to guard him a hard time. So I think, they brought in 8 freshmen who, what I've heard around campus is that they brought in some really, really good talent this year. But unfortunately, preseason rankings don't factor into how good a freshman you bring in. And so, like I said, I think that being ranked 9th out of 10 is strictly because Austin Rohde isn't here anymore. And so I think that, this team should have a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And they should be out there to try to prove people wrong. I'm looking at the roster right now. It looks like they brought in a lot of size. They only have 2 seniors on the team, so they're young too. And so, they got a lot of time to grow. As long as these freshmen can stay and they keep recruiting freshmen, it should be an improving team every single year.
Right.
There's no doubt about it that this team will end up, higher than 9th, in the conference. As soon as these freshmen, guys like Kevin Christie and Andrew Hunter, who have been leading this team, as soon as they get out on the court, get to put on display, all their hard work this offseason, they're definitely going to, change some opinions about them. And, looking at this roster, they brought in a lot of size this year.
Yeah, that was the key thing last year, is that they had no size whatsoever.
Yeah, I see numerous guys at 6'5". And so right there, it is definitely a tremendous improvement from last year's size. And so, I think Coach Neal's doing the right thing with recruiting and bringing in all these guys. And so, I look forward to watching these guys play and, watching these guys prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, my initial thought on the 9th ranking out of the 10 teams was that if I'm Coach Neal, I'm using this as, guys, they are putting us at the bottom of the totem pole, basically. I want to prove them wrong. I want to show that Austin Rohde, since he's gone, he's not going to hold us back. Austin Rohde's departure sucks. Yes, he had to leave. He was graduating. Can't stay any longer.
Right.
So I would like to see how Coach Neal makes it more of a team effort. Because last year, it was kind of like the Austin Rohde show. Just get Austin open and let him do his work. Like you said, he put up almost 30 a game. Tremendous basketball talent. But I'd really use this, like you said, a chip on their shoulder to really show everybody in the conference wrong and to prove that they're hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry for success, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And their first actual home game is November 21st here in a couple weeks. And the women's play at 6 o'clock. They play Heidelberg, I do believe. The men play at 8 o'clock against Ohio Midwestern. If everything falls into place, we'll be able to broadcast this game live for you guys here on 96.1 The Wit. Any words to your freshmen and fellow football players?
Yeah, let's go get that hammer back. Let's beat DC.
And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Do not forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Gino Spadaro, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit. Roll Beaver.